Part 7, Physics and Geometry. The beauty and truth of a scientific model often lies in its ultimate simplicity. A good example of this is to think back when the Earth was thought to be the center of the universe. The stars were considered to be embedded in a firmament which rotated around the Earth, like the inner surface of a sphere. The Sun and the planets were also thought of as rotating around the Earth, although obviously were not embedded in the firmament because they could be seen to move independently among the fixed stars. This all seemed logical because it looks like that is what is happening. What was perplexing is that sometimes the planets seemed to reverse direction for a time before returning to their normal path. To explain this, Ptolemy developed a model which showed the planets on spiraling paths as they circled the Earth. His model explained the retrograde motion of the planets, but offered no explanation as to why the planets would move in such a strange way. Today, of course, we know that the apparent retrograde motion of the planets is due to our perspective from the Earth, as it and the other planets all move around the Sun. The heliocentric model of the solar system offers a much simpler, a more beautiful and elegant explanation. A more recent example of a simplified model is found in the idea of the unified field of the universe, the theory of everything, the beauty of simplicity at its finest. A single mathematical expression representing the unified field would create all the multidimensional complexity and diversity of relativity and quantum physics. Yet even all the resulting mathematical complexity is based on a fairly simple picture, the geometry of quantum fields within the geometry of spacetime. As a representation of reality, geometry is arguably even more fundamental than mathematics. The geometry of spacetime existed long before Einstein developed his equations of relativity. The exact value of pi is intrinsic to the geometry of the circle, yet it cannot be precisely expressed as a number. Recall the 12th century Gnostics' conception of logos as an intelligible sphere whose center is everywhere and circumference nowhere. Today, this geometric mindbender could be represented by an infinite hypersphere, a four-dimensional sphere with infinite radius. Rather than a typical spherical plane with a surface and a radius, an infinite hypersphere is more precisely thought of as a spherical state of polarity, the polarity between singularity and infinity, with the infinity being a dimension beyond our three-dimensional experience of infinity. Intriguingly, an interpretation of unified field physics suggests that a hyperspherical polarity of the universal superforce is the most fundamental expression of existence which can be realized from the physical plane, like a geometric logos. In this way, all quantum processes which define matter and energy, and in fact all possible realities, along with the seed of individual consciousness, can be represented by simple geometric elements within the hyperspherical geometry. Each element is composed of two complementary aspects, a vector or ray and an equatorial ring. With this geometry representing the quantum realm in its most fundamental form, it can be thought of as forming the central reality of any of the current unified field models, including string theory. A hyperspherical polarity of the universal superforce, or simply a universal hypersphere, through the interaction of the infinite number of ring ray elements and with any one of those elements serving as a reference frame or as the seat of consciousness, whichever the case may be, can act as a Fourier series generator, the geometric equivalent to an infinite series of superimposed harmonic oscillators.
What?
I know. Bear with me here. This superposition of an infinite number of harmonic functions provides a geometric source for the wave mechanics of matter, energy, and spacetime, while maintaining an underlying level of all possible realities, in a non-manifested state. Many will recognize the key significance of this idea to the wave function of quantum mechanics and in the way in which matter and energy seem to behave. Note that a ring on a four-dimensional hypersphere appears as a sphere in three-dimensional space. Also, any one ring on the hypersphere is more properly thought of as an infinite number of rays itself, but only those rays limited to that single plane sliced from the hypersphere. That ring of rays, then, appears as a spherical array of rays in three-dimensional space. Within our limited space of experience, it is the perfect image of, yet still an integral part of, the universal hypersphere. A harmonic function is a waveform that repeats itself, whether it be simple or complex. A simple harmonic function, such as a sine wave or cosine wave, can be generated by a rotating vector, like the hand on a clock. A Fourier series is the sum of a series of sinusoidal harmonic functions, up to an infinite number of them of varying frequency and amplitude, creating even the most complex periodic waveform. Even a square wave, another example of a simple harmonic function, can be represented by the sum of an infinite series of sine waves. In this way, all the wave functions of quanta, the entire universe, can be represented by the combination of an infinite number of sinusoidal harmonic functions. There are an infinite number of rings in the hypersphere, existing at every possible angle, providing an infinite number of possible harmonic functions which can define an infinite number of complex waveforms. The importance of harmonic functions and the Fourier series began to come to light in 1865 when James Clerk Maxwell unified electricity and magnetism into the electromagnetic field. This unification in physics was a huge step forward in our understanding of the physical world, essentially as much as was Einstein's geometric formulation of gravity in his theory of general relativity 50 years later. The electromagnetic field defines everything we see and physically feel, including the dynamics of the electron layer of the atom and all of chemistry, and it is all based on harmonic functions. A complete unified theory of the universe was Einstein's dream, and he spent his later years working on it. The idea of this possibility came to be known as the Holy Grail of science. By 1979, the unification of the electromagnetic force field and one of the nuclear forces was formalized, becoming the basis for a grand unified theory which adds the other nuclear force to the unification, thus unifying all the forces of the universe except for gravity. The universal hypersphere could be thought of as a geometric version of the wave function of the universe, introduced by Hugh Everett in 1956 in a thesis draft, and written up by James Hartle and Stephen Hawking in 1983. It is actually an idealized mathematical expression, using an infinite series of harmonic oscillators, but it does have applications in quantum cosmology. In their book, The Anthropic Cosmological Principle, John D. Burrell and Frank J. Tipler put it this way: the wave function of the universe is essentially a list of all possible histories through which the universe could have evolved to its present quantum state, which itself includes all logical possible particles and arrangements of particles that could exist in the universe at the present time. End quote. An important philosophical feature of quantum physics is revealed by the wave function and the non-deterministic nature of quantum measurement. Quantum indeterminism, along with the underlying level of all possible realities, is directly related to our experience of free will. In this way, quantum physics actually negates the philosophical problem of the existence of free will in our apparently deterministic universe. It is also interesting to note here that a four-dimensional hypersphere could be a ring on a five-dimensional hypersphere, which could be a ring on a six-dimensional hypersphere, and so on, each representing a new set of infinite possibilities and all centered on the same universal singularity. Modern string theory is a unified field theory which requires several other space dimensions, the number of which depends on the specific formulation of the theory. As strange as the notion of an omnipresent hypersphere might seem, the idea actually makes more sense than having to imagine there must be an infinite number of parallel universes, for example, in order to account for the superposition of all possible realities inherent in the quantum wave function. It is especially intriguing considering that it also provides a better understanding of all the other bizarre implications of modern physics, while revealing a fascinating insight into the metaphysics of the ancient wisdom. Even though the picture of rings on a hypersphere is useful in representing matter, energy, and spacetime, along with the vector of individual consciousness, the primary reality of the universal hypersphere is not actually a sphere with a surface full of rings as such. This view only comes into play during the experience of time and individual consciousness. The ultimate reality of the universal hypersphere, rather, is defined by a spherical array of vectors in a higher dimension, infinite in number and infinite in length. The idea of a hyperspherical force polarity, omnipresent and timeless, is fundamental. This state of reality remains unchanged during the experience of any perceived spacetime unfoldment. The interpretation of unified field physics previously referred to is that of the Kaluza-Klein model, a classic unified field theory from Einstein's era, forms of which are used in string theory today. It unifies the electromagnetic and gravitational fields in a mathematically beautiful way by adding a fourth dimension of space rolled up into tiny subatomic spheres scattered around in three-dimensional space. The unification of all things inherent in the quantum entanglement of modern physics and in the philosophy of non-dualism is realized in the possibility that all of those tiny fourth-dimension spheres which fill all of three-dimensional space are actually different rings on the same sphere within that fourth dimension, representing every quantum process in the universe combined into one reality. The idea is much like imagining the Big Bang as a timeless state of pure potential which continuously creates our experience of a dynamic universe while remaining unchanged in its unified state in its higher dimension. In this perspective, what cosmologists call the Big Bang is literally happening right now at the center of every atom and is integral to our experience of the dynamic present and the structure of depth consciousness. Subatomic physics understands that the entire history of the universe, from the Big Bang to the present, is reflected in the subatomic structure of matter. Another way to imagine this possibility is to think of atoms as very tiny and very deep vortices of past space-time in the fourth dimension of space, reaching all the way back to the singularity of the Big Bang. From our perspective in the ever-changing present, we see only cross-sections of the vortices, rings, which appear as spheres in three-dimensional space. In the teachings of the ancient wisdom, time is understood to be closely related to the experience of consciousness. In fact, as Lama Gobinda points out, the polarity of consciousness is the very same polarity that we experience as time. In other words, we do not live in time, but time lives within us because time is the innermost rhythm of our conscious existence. End quote. The space of experience which surrounds us is the external expression of this innermost rhythm and is called, in Sanskrit, akasha. Akasha manifests as the force fields of matter, energy, and space-time, a direct result of the polarities of the life force within us. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Christian Bible, 1 Epistle of John, 1:5.